Good evening. This is John Batchelor. Tonight on the show, a lengthy conversation with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution about the allegations by the special counsel, Mr. Smith, against former President Trump to do with the conduct of the president before and after the January 6th events, starting in November, continuing December, January, when he was still president of the United States before the inauguration of Joe Biden. The professor entertains four possible defenses suggested by the Wall Street Journal. The first is freedom of speech, free expression, remarks by the president. The second is he consulted with his counselors and his lawyers advised him to go ahead and conduct himself in this fashion. The third is that no matter what else is said, the president believes what he's maintaining, which is that the election was irregular, stolen, illegitimate, and that he remains the president of the United States, or should be. The fourth possible defense, raised by an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, is that the president is immune from prosecution for any act he commits while president of the United States. Richard speaks to each of these defenses. Also tonight, a happy version of the search for Voyager 2. You will recall in a previous episode, the operatives in charge of Voyager's mission, launched in 1977, accidentally touched a button that put the aerial out of alignment with the Earth, and therefore the signal was lost. What is going to happen naturally later this year, I learned from Bob Zimmerman, is that the aerial, the directed towards Earth, will reset itself, and therefore there's good prospect that Voyager will be back in the right kitchen. However, in the meantime, the Space Center in Canberra, I learned from Scott Maiman, is very pleased that it found the signal of Voyager 2, what is called the heartbeat. It's still alive, so it will reset itself is the belief. That's all very good news for a very famous spacecraft. Now, I believe 19 billion kilometers from Earth. Its mate, Voyager 1, is 24 billion kilometers from Earth. Two happy stories. Also tonight, a conversation with the author and historian Jonathan Healy of Oxford University, his new book, The Blazing World. This is a story of 17th century revolutionary England and Scotland. These are the progenitors of the 18th and 19th century men and women who became the colonials of America and the rest of the British Empire eventually. The influence of the debates of the 17th century are still with us. This is Parliament rising up against the power of the king. This is the wars between the religionists in England and across the continent. Catholic versus Protestant, Protestant versus Protestant, questions about people who had smaller groups such as the Quakers. All of this happened in the 17th century and was sorted out with violence, extreme violence, and civil war. There was a period when the king's head was cut off by the radicals, and for a number of years, 5 years, a man named Oliver Cromwell, a farmer from East Anglia, ruled England as if he was king. It is a wonderful story of men and women coming together to win their freedom against the presumption that the sovereign was all-powerful and could make laws and strike down laws at his will. Also, a conversation with Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center about the early days of the Ukraine war, just emerging, reported by Serhii Plokhii of Harvard in his new book, The Russo-Ukrainian War, that the Russian forces coming from Belarus took possession of Chernobyl, intended to turn it into a weapon. The containment building number 4 is sealed in concrete. Number 3 and the others are still vulnerable to manipulation. That is, if the power's cut off, the water's cut off, it'll overheat and causing a possible nuclear accident. Well, the Russians did not take careful precautions, and in their retreat from the Kyiv siege, they also retreated from Chernobyl. And in those very hectic days, it was only electricity from Belarus and the restart of the generators that maintained the right flow of water around number three to avoid a disaster. We have the similar situation now threatened at Zaporizhia more than a year later, but Chernobyl was the initial error, or was it on purpose, I ask Henry. Is this the weaponization of nuclear power plants? Is there an answer? And tonight, a conversation about the jobs report with Jim McTague, either a Goldilocks job report, not too hot, not too cold. Also with Jeff Bliss about a happy night at the Hollywood Bowl. There's lots of bad news on Pacific Watch. There's trouble in Portland where they've permitted or legalized many drugs, including the poisonous fentanyl, and how Portland area has lost $1 billion in tax revenue the last year, not just by theft, but also by high-end earners leaving the area. And there's also a reflection, I enjoy making the reflection on the economy as it's recovering, and I speak with Chris Regal of Scala.com about the rise in shipping rates across the Pacific from Shanghai to Long Beach, what this means of China looking for business. The factory floor there is reported emptying or not busy. And the U.S. recovery, and also the effort worldwide to move from making China your main supplier to backups such as Vietnam, India, Bangladesh, Cambodia. Here's more. Enjoy. Good night.